Hey, today's daf is daf Lamed Aleph, and we're starting today at the Mishnah on daf Lamed Aleph base. And yes, Sabah Josh isn't here, I'll do the honors myself. Fight on the Helik Eper. Einom dimli yitpalel ala mitov kovid rosh. Person should not get up for his tefillah ba'amidah unless he's in a state of kovid rosh. Kovid rosh essentially means, as we say, in a matzah of a feeling chastised, as if his head is heavy and hanging down a bit. Rashi says hachna'a in a humbleness, but it's not just plain humbleness, it's like a chastised humbleness where somebody has been beaten down a little bit. Hasidim arishonim ayu shohim sha'a achat umitpalalim kedei shechavnu libam laviyim shel hashamayim. Early Hasidim used to spend an hour before the tefillah in order to arrange their thoughts to be towards Aviyam Shabbat Shemayim. And this does not mean we find there's other inyanim Shliach Tzibo should be misada the tefillah so that it should be shogur bepi, should be easy to daven, or a person should know what he's being mechaven for. And we hear the Rishayim and Medayik that the Kavona is Lavim Labat Shabbat Shemayim, not for Kavona for the Tefillah, but rather Kavona to be Eimed Bifnei Hashchina. It's a completely different thing, which, remember, according to the Rambam, is Ma'akev, the essence of Tefillah. Now, somebody who's Mechavin for every word, and someone who's Mechavin for the Mitzvah of Tefillah as well, is still not Yotze Tefillah, if he's not standing in the presence of Aviv Shabbat Shemayim. So therefore, in order to create the framework for the tefillah, they spent an hour before so that their minds were cleaned, so to speak, of Olam HaZeh, to be standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kevayochol. Afilu HaMelech Sha'ot HaShlomo Lo Yashivenu, Afilu Nochash Keruch Halak Yavo Lo Yafsik. And here, as opposed to Kriyat Shema, we had Mishnayos that told us when it was mutter to be mafsik, at which places and for what. Here, of course, the Gemara will clarify. Look, I've been talking about actual sakanas lefashis, obviously not. But even if the melech says good morning, he shouldn't answer. And even if a snake is wrapped around his ankle, he shouldn't be mafsikist to you. Minani mili, how do we know that the correct attitude for tefillah is one of hachna'a and kovid rosh? Why shouldn't we say that the correct attitude for tefillah is, as we find some of the modern spiritual people like the daven dancing up and down, all excited, and I'm not saying it facetiously. I mean, there's certainly grounds to think that perhaps that is the proper way to daven. Person is standing before the Ashkina, he should be overwhelmed with joy and with a sense of expansion and happiness, so that he certainly shouldn't express any feelings of being broken and hurt and shattered when it comes to the davening. So where do we see that tefillah has to specifically be mitoch kovid rosh and not mitoch sometimes the natural feeling that we might have at coming with Nei Hashchina and expressing joy and expansion? Omer Belazer D'Omar Kro, the Pasuk, and we'll see that the story of Chana's tefillah is, it turns out to be paradigmatic in tefillahs. We use it as a model for many, many dinim, and therefore, because it defines Chana's state of mind as she comes to be mitpalelet, and it says, Vihi marat nefesh, that is taken to mean that this is the correct stance for tefillah, to feel a sense of lack and of humbleness and of even embitteredness in how much one requires. Mimai, but how do we know that that's part of the model? Isn't the story of Chana that she came to tefillah because of the terrible pain that she had in her heart? And it may well be discussing here the things that led her to tefillah rather than the attitude for tefillah, in which case this may be a personal thing. I have nothing to do with the model of tefillah. Elam Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, behold. Actually, we'll have to look elsewhere. When David HaMelech defines his attitude, he says, Ani b'rov chazdecha avo beitecha, eshtachavah lechal kotshecha b'yiratecha. So Biyuratecha means that David HaMelech specifically saw that the coming into the Beit HaMikdash and to be Mishtachaveh, which is the act of Tefillah there, what we do, the Kriya, so we don't actually do literal Yishtachavoyah, but that was the day to do Yishtachavoyah. And that was an act of Yira. So apparently that is the correct way to be Mispalah. Again, I mean, not necessarily. We certainly know David's background. Anybody who's read Tehillim can sense that this was David's personal stance in life. That David Shani, David Mitzayr Nafshe Barachamei Tuva. To him, the Bakashas Rachamim, as an expression of the human condition, was so fundamental that this was his life's work. So for a person like him, to say Eshtachaveh B'yirah is understandable. But who's to say that that is the nature of Tefillah per se, rather than the nature of David's Avodah? El Omer of Yeshua ben Levi Mihocha, Hishtachavu LaHashem Bahadrat Kodesh. Bahadrat Kodesh is not just the sense of Hadar, but rather, as is Merumas in the Hachlafa of Hei Techet, instead of saying Bahadrat, it's actually Bechardat or Becharadat. So in other words, there's a sense of trembling and awe that's associated with Kedusha, and that's the way a person should be, Hishtachavu LaHashem, that's the way to come in to be Mispalah. Again, I mean, you're suggesting that we can't understand Bahadrat to mean literally Bahadrat, and because otherwise you certainly have no right to use the drasha as the primary meaning of the pasuk. I mean, why doesn't it mean exactly what it says? Bahadrat Kodesh means beautiful. If you're going to come into Daven, look beautiful. I mean, there's certainly a concept like that. Rav Yehuda of Mitzayin Nafshe, Rav Yehuda would dress himself very beautifully, and only then, Hoder Matzah. So it may be talking about a concept of hikon, in which the person prepares himself to be only Bifnei HaMelech, in how he dresses and how he combs his hair and so on, which is also understandable. But you want to change the pshat to read Bechardat Kodesh as a din? What gives you the right? Elom Reb Nachum by Yitzchak Mihocha. Ibdu et Hashem b'yirah v'gilu b'ra'adah. So clearly here we're talking about Yira and Ra'ad as fundamental components of Avodah, despite the fact that there is Gila that's involved. And my V'gilu b'ra'adah, Om Ravada Barmasto Amar Rabba, b'makom Gila Sham Tehei Ra'adah. Even though you're being osik now in inyanim that make a person's heart full of love and desire and happiness and joy, but there must be an overall sense of awe and trembling to be standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and not just the feeling of taking advantage of this relationship. Did I say my v'gilu b'ra'adah? No, I didn't. My v'gilu b'ra'adah. Now, l'maisa, the pashtus of the pasuk, as Tosis points out, is Ivdu et Hashem b'yirah. If your zofa to be Oved Hashem b'yirah, then when the time of Ra'adah comes in the world, you will be able to be Gila. You will be in a state of happiness as everyone else trembles because of what you were zofa to through Ivdu et Hashem b'yirah. But in this context, where we're saying that the Yira and the Ra'adah are definitions now of the Avodah, then what's the v'gilu b'ra'adah specifically? Omer Ravada Bar Masna Omer Rabba, it means Bimkom Gila Shamte Ra'adah. That even where a person is osik in inyanim of Gila, and he's osik in inyanim of mitzvah, and even in Simcha Shal Mitzvah, and so on, there has to be awe. Abaya Abiyazib Kameh the Rabba. Abaya was sitting in front of Rabba, who noticed that Abaya was Chazer Kabarach Tuva. He was a little bit, seemed to be a little bit over-manic. It's actually, you know, in a super-duper mood. And looked like he wasn't taking his responsibilities seriously. Omar v'gilu b'radakzit. It says that there's supposed to be trembling even when a person is high. Omle ana tefillin manacha. There's no chashash when a person is wearing tefillin that he's lost awareness of his place. So if, when a person is wearing tefillin, he's being machris, so to speak, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is his odoin, and that he accepts the shlita of the Shamayim. Therefore, every expression that he has, even if it seems a bit manic, is considered to be part and parcel of his current state of consciousness with his film. It's difficult to believe that Abaye was speaking to Rabbi. So I'm assuming that Rabbi was speaking to Abaye. It's too much of a slap. Doesn't it say that in every expression of seriousness, there's always an advantage? And you seem to be a little bit not serious, shall we say. I'm wearing tefillin, and that's not necessary. The tefillin itself is an expression of my seriousness. Rabbi Ravina made a chasna for his son, and as is the wont of people at chasna, The friends from the yeshiva were a little bit crazy at the wedding. We're getting overly excited. I say kasa de mukrabas arba meazes. So he took a cup of very expensive crystal. It was worth $400. V'tava kamayon, he busted it. And all of a sudden there's complete silence. Everybody starts, oh my God, the crystal vase, the family heirloom, oy, 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 yatsivu, everybody was miserable. So that put things back at the balance. Chalk it up to a chasen expense. Ravashi, Avadi Lulu Livrei, Ravashi made a chasen for his son. Chazinul Rabbanandavik, a bat for tuva. He too saw the yeshiva guys were getting a little bit out of control. See, he brought some clear glass, wasn't exactly kasa mukra, and he too broke it in front of them, and they were depressed.
This is the mukra for expensive wedding.
This is the mukra, actually, is, according to Tosfos, for breaking a cup at a wedding. Nothing to do with Yerushalayim. Yeah, a whole different way of looking at it.
But here it's taking place later.
There seem to be two different approaches over here, and indeed there are different approaches that are brought in the Mefarshim. The Kasa de Mukra Bat Arba Mea Zuze seems to be the simple atzvut of the monetary loss. When we're talking about the Zugita Chivarta, it doesn't seem to be stressing necessarily a particular value, and that it was extremely expensive. And indeed, there's a whole approach among the Achronim, including the Marsha, that the aspect over here is mortality. The breaking of glass, particularly, it says, Vaharaya, the minhag has become to break glass, not to break expensive glass, you break a 50-cent glass. So obviously we're talking about something other than that original Kasa de Mukra. And indeed, Tosfos, who says, Mikan Nog L'Shaber Zkuchit, is on the second one. Kasa de Zugita Chivarta, which is a different thing. So the Marsha understands it, and so do many others, that it's a reference to mortality, specifically Zkuchit, because Zkuchit is made directly out of earth, so to speak, sand, silicon, changes its shape into something very valuable, and then can be broken very easily, and that's its death, so to speak. The death of the glass, yeah, with the ruach, correct. One blows into it. So there's similarities to the Adam, and in its breaking, there's similarities. Others stress the idea of tahira, transparency, that the earth can become transparent and clear, and that the only way in which it becomes tahor, assuming that you hold that tzchuchis doesn't have tahira b'mikveh, which is a whole question, so then the only way to be metahir is through breaking it, so to an Adam has to have a lev nishbar v'nitkatz, Ramadim specifically to the Yonim of Tefillah from where we come. But of course there's the whole alternative approach that the references Dafka to the Churban, and we'll see why that's true in the upcoming Sukkah.
I'd just like to mention the glass, I think it's a little jar that was found in the Herodian quarter. There's a picture of it. When I saw it, it was the most beautiful thing I ever saw in my life. The exquisiteness of this glass from Inyan, who was from Sidon. can't imagine how stunning that the pictures didn't show, etc.
So that would be very sad.
Yeah.
Who pays for this?
It's in wedding gold.
The chassid said or the kallah
said? More than anything gold or silver or jewel they'd ever seen at that class.
Okay. In Barnea's neighborhood, I assume. Omar le Rabbanu le Rav Amnuna Zut Viluda de Marbara de Ravina. The guys from the yeshiva asked Rav Amnuna, they were at the wedding, and everybody was a little bit high. So they were figured, we'll get Rav Amnuna to sing. Hey, come on, Rav Amnuna, give us a song. Okay, he says, I'll give you a song. Woe to us, we're dead. Oh, we're dying. Oh, my God. Vile unto my Sinan, vile unto my Sinan. Definitely calmed people down a bit. So they said to him, so what's the chorus? Anan manani batra. What are we supposed to sing? He says, you're supposed to sing, hey Torah, hey mitzvah, the magnalon. If we're dying, where's the Torah? Where's the mitzvahs? This definitely rearranged the order of priorities at that wedding. Om Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Asur L'Adam Shimalei Sfok Piv Ba'olam Hazeh. Now here's where we get into the reference to the Churban. Because many learns, Ba'olam Hazeh means in the current state of Churban, which is the way the Torah brings it, the Zman Hazeh. And therefore, there's not necessarily two completely different issues here. Because even though Tosfos says the Minig L'Shavrit Shvukit B'Nisuin, is in order that we should be Mekayim V'Gilu B'Ra'adah, that even Bisman Gila, there should be an awareness of Ra'adah, but particularly, there is a Mahakpada not to be completely given over to laughter and joy during a period of the Churban. So the Mela, this Hakpada, to actually break a cup, would be not a reference to the breakage at the Churban, but rather a reference to the fact that an Adam should not be happy completely, which Ramela is a reference to the Churban. In other words, you don't have to see it necessarily as a completely different approach because of this piece. How do we know this? Because it says, Az Yimalei Schok Bino L'Shonei Nurina. Then we will be able to be completely filled with laughter. So when is then? Continues the Pasuk. Eimatai Bizman Sheyomru Agoyim Higel Hashem. That's what he meant. So it's Az Yimalei Schok Bino. So that means the two are interrelated. When you're in a position where Klal Yisrael is what they're supposed to be, then you have what to be completely joyous. As long as the world is in the state that it is, and it's the truth, that's if nobody is completely happy. In other words, the tendency of laughter to break down so quickly into tears is specifically because people are aware of the fact that the laughter is a contradiction to the actual human condition. So there's a feeling of a paradox that's associated with it, and therefore the pasuk is expressing something that is fundamental to the way we relate to the world anyway.
The world of form, though we get a taste of that as you know, the future, how can we have no form and smile and say that? Because that's Tom.
Not a Gemara. It'd be nice chucking like that. But there's not such a Gemara. Makes sense. It's this man opinion. It's kineged. I mean, lemaisa, the din of Ador is exactly the kineged, the din of Av. To shame, shemishin nichnas Av mematim b'simcha kach b'shemishin. So it's the same halacha. Clearly, there for many reasons they're built one against the other. I mean, that's the hotzah of the big bekuhuna, the singing the eicha tunes five times during the course of the Megillah. These things are fundamentally interrelated, but that particular point is not a gemara. Tana Rabbanan, ein omdim. Oh, sorry, I skipped. Omra lavar Reish Lakish. They say about Reish Lakish that after he heard Rabbi Yochanan's quote of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, is that miyamav lo milei tzchok piv b'olam hazeh mishum ami Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi. After he heard this from his Rebbe, Rabbi Yochanan, he never allowed himself. We know that Reish Lakish was a pretty humorous fellow, although quite serious at the same time. But he never gave himself over to laughter. I don't even know if it's not only frivolity. It's a complete acceptance of the joy of the moment and the giving oneself. It doesn't have to be frivolous necessarily. Sfok piv is not kalas rosh. Tana rabbana. Ein omdim lehitpalel. Lo mitoch din, lo mitoch dvar halakha, el mitoch halakha psuka. A person does not stand up to daven in the middle of having just completed a din in the courtroom, or even standing up after a machlokas over here in the Beit HaMidrash, and he's being firmly a part of the Milchamta Shel Torah and the Pilpula Shel Torah, but rather from a sense of Yishuv Adat, which would come only from Halakha Psuka. Well, there's nothing to talk about. There's no discussion. Om Rabbi, you want an example? Man, we didn't just finish Nida for nothing. You did the whole Masech and figured out that there's nothing to learn from it. Because after all, as Rabbi Zera said, "Benot Yisrael Chmira Latzman, Shafilu Ro'ot Tipat Dam Kichardal Yoshevet Alav Shivat Nekiim." You got something to say about that? You're going to argue about it? That's the way it is. They're telling you the way it is. That's Halakha Psuka. So what? It gives a person a sense of, okay, I got that straight at least. Whereas anytime you're involved in anything else, nothing's ever straight. Your mind is in the middle of that thing, and you cannot concentrate on your tefillah completely. Rava Amar, Rava said, I'll give you another example. It doesn't have to be that absolute clear cut. I mean, that it's a minig and not dependent on understanding its halachic roots. I mean, even Ravosha, the Ravosha. Ma'arima dama tvuata, umachnisa b'mot shala, kedei shtei b'emto ochelet uptura min ha-ma'aser. A person is allowed to bring tvuah, which has not yet been winnowed, and therefore is not yet ready to be chayev in ma'aser, so that at the moment that it's roe p'nei abayit, which is normally the point at which that chiyuv would now be chal, since the grain is not completed, having not been winnowed, it's not going to be chayev in maaser. But you can do this only in order to feed your animals, because you're not chiyuv to bring in things to be chayev in maaser for animal feed. Or another example, k'deravuna, yom ravuna am rabizira ha-mekiz dam b'veimat kodashim, asura ba'ana'u mo'alim bo. Somebody who takes blood for medical purposes from Behemat Kodshim, that blood is actually Mechayev Me'ila. Now this is really stretching it, because there is quite a bit to discuss about this, since we know that there was no Me'ila on Dam Kodshim. Actually, we would sell Dam Kodshim for as ever to Gananim. So in other words, what Ravuna, we're adding over here in Ravuna, that even something that requires a distinction to be made to understand that there's a difference between Dam of Kodshim after Kapora, in which case we learn Vanina Tatif Lachem Lechaper Al Nafshotechem, that Leacher Kapora there's no Me'ila, but before Kapora there could be Me'ila like anything else. There's nothing that's magic about the state of Dam. Okay, that's already, once I understand it, it's nothing to discuss, but it's certainly not as Me'ashev as Rabbi Zera.
When alive Kachim?
Yeah, you can't let Dam from dead Kachim.
So what's the
problem? Hakazas Dam is a medical procedure.
So what's the problem? I mean, what's... Because he's in there,
yeah. Even though normally Dam is not Mechayim Me'ila. So this becomes a special halacha in which you could see the difference, even more so than the previous one about the Mochila. It's B'mot Shalat, it's, I know that it's also for a person to be Ma'arim on this tefillah. Okay, but here it explains why it's different. K'dei la'achilo la'beimah. So I understand that it's teaching me something about a particular stage. To say that it includes Yibayit Eima, even Ravuna, where it doesn't explain the particularity of this case, that's a bigger finish. So we have three dargas of what would be considered Halakha Psuka. And indeed, there were some that were Noheg, the Rabbona, Avdike Masnisen, and Rav Ashi, Avdike Braisa. So the Rabbona used to follow our Mishnah, it was Mitoch Kovid Rosh, was not a state of activity, but rather was an emotive state, which a person would think about for himself. And Rav Ashi was knowing the way the Braisa is, Mitoch Halacha Psuka, and that was the type of thing that would prepare the nefesh for acceptance of things, rather than making him the center of defining how the particular issue would work out. And that itself is similar to the Inyan in the Mishnah of Kovid Rosh, but it takes a different tact in terms of how you would be preparing for tefillah. Tana Rabba, in omdim lehitpalel lo mitoch atzvut, a person cannot be in a state of sadness. Lo mitoch atzlut, he can't be in a state of feeling. How would you say atzlut?
Lethargy.
Perfect. Thank you. Not in a lethargic state. He has to be willing to be nigash al atfila, vayigash al shel atfila. Lo mitoch tzchok, v'lo mitoch sicha, v'lo mitoch kalut rosh. So he shouldn't be in a matzav in which he just finished watching One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, or that got Richie's attention. There we go. Nor out of just, you know, discussions of stam litzonis, says Rashi, or frivolities. V'lo mitoch dvarim b'teilim, or things that are meaningless. Ela mitoch simcha shel mitzvah. Person should be involved in simcha that has something to do with the mitzvah. So Rashi gives examples such as the idea of being samech gula l'tfila, because over there there's a joy involved in the happiness that we have in being mishabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu on our gula, or in the various some learn the Tosfos brings that this is the reason that we were metaken psukei de zimra, because being a oisik in shirot v'tushpachot is itself something that is very makes a person happy.
Well, happy because it's a mitzvah.
Well, remember that b'tov simcha shel mitzvah means listening to a symphony in order to be in a state of simcha. So that it's a somewhat tautological sort of what makes it a mitzvah, the fact that you're doing it in order for it to be a mitzvah. Right. But you're being osek in it for the tzorach of mitzvah. So, as a matter of fact, Tosfos even brings the Gemara Pesach. In other words, the Shechina Shara Mitoch Simcha Shel Mitzvah, and so on, this would be the Gemara of Simcha Shel Mitzvah.
But not the Divrei Chochmah, they are extremes here. Don't use Divrei Tzchok, and the best possible thing is Simcha Shel Achor or Mitzvah, but it's like Bar Chochmah not, or something of Tom not.
I'm not following. Or what do you think? Or not after a good meal in a restaurant. I mean, wouldn't it have to be parallel to the issues we're talking about? We're talking about an emotive state. We're not talking about an intellectual state. So we're going to contrast the two emotive states: atzvut versus simcha.
Okay, it's because of Rashi was talking about maharaba, and you know, like the mind's still working.
Where on what? Maharban, I don't know, Kushis with the Utsans previously.
Right.
What does that have to do with this? There's nothing to do with this. Yeah, that's a completely different element. That was a question of concentration.
And so the Dvarim Tehillim will affect
the previous case. No. You're putting together two completely different sugyas for some reason you keep insisting on doing it. The first sugya was a discussion of your state of mind, not your state of emotion. Where is your mind holding? So you're supposed to be, therefore, be omid l'tefillah. It's something that will not affect your ability to concentrate, be completely involved in what you're doing.
Okay.
Here we're talking about what type of emotions are you experiencing as you nigash l'tefillah. V'chein, lo yipater adam mechaveiro, lo mitoch sicha, lo mitoch tzchok, lo mitoch kalas rosh, lo mitoch dvarim b'teilim, ela mitoch dvar halacha. Now here we have our Barnaism in the sugya, and indeed the Gra takes out this girsa because of Barnea and changes it to mitoch simcha shel mitzvah, because the truth is that the way we have it doesn't seem to make much sense, because it's contrasting again how it is you're going to be feeling emotionally and then turning it into var halacha. The truth is that we have both elements in human relationships as well, as we're going to see in a moment, that there's another halacha, which is parallel to the din of tefillah, which is that a person should be involved in the same way that in tefillah, you don't want to be involved in a dvar halacha. When you're saying goodbye to your friend, you do want to be involved in a dvar halacha. Because the very element that's matrid you in the halacha and prevents you from letting go is exactly what you want to have when you're saying goodbye to your friend. You don't want to let go. So in order not to let go, do the very things that prevent you from letting go in tefillah. That's perfect. That is a perfect hakapalah. But in this case, we're talking about the state of your emotions so that you can be with each other in a state that creates relationship. And it's a mistake. People think that the creating relationship is to be hanging out together and so on. It's exactly the opposite. That which creates relationships is the sharing, a joyous and happy sharing of a sense of the flow of life, not of kalos rosh and so on. That doesn't build anything. So here changes the gross, and it should be parallel to the sigil that we had by tefillah, into again, Dvar Simcha Shel Mitzvah. You see that the Navi, who completes his work, does not complete his work with a dramatic slap in the face, but rather completes the work with a sense of combined mixed feelings at the party. So you feel together at the end of a work. The same Tanamari Barbare, the Ravuna Bre, the Ravirmiya Baraba, Al Yipater, now this V'chein does not make sense according to the Gro, and indeed he takes out the word V'chein, because this is the other sugya. Al Yipater Adam Michaviro, Ela Mitoch Dvar Halacha, Shemitoch Kak Zochreihu. Perfect. The same way that you're not supposed to have a Dvar Halacha when it comes to tefillah, because you'll keep remembering that which you were being Isaac in, says Rashi, and you'll find your mind always thinking back to Akasha, or some, oh, now I understand, or a Kiddush, and you're not really working on the tefillah, so there's no avodah shebaleiv. So therefore, when it comes to a friend, on the contrary, the next 20 years, you're going to be thinking about the questions that he left you with, and every time you think about it, it's going to be, you know, like I was talking to Ellie last time, and the question is, so that keeps us going until his next visit. Like, we know that Rav Kahana was actually Milavet Rav Shimi Bar Ashi all the way from Pum Nahara of Bavel to Beit Sunita. Beit Sunita was a place of palms. Beit Sunita means palms. So to palm center, Bavel, this is quite a long way. Ki Mata Lahatabu, when they got there, Omale Mar, tell me, sir, is it true that this Tzinita Debavel, people say that this has been here from the time of Adam Arishon until today? Is it really that ancient? Omerle, ah, you just reminded me of something, which is great. Adachron Milton, you know what that really means? It was Rabbi Yosef Rebbe Chanina taught us. Rabbi Yosef Rebbe Chanina, my dichtiv, what's the meaning of the pasuk? Ba'aretz asher lo avarba ish, v'lo yashav adam sham. I mean, isn't that a little silly to talk about an aretz where no one had ever passed, and then say, and no one had ever settled? I mean, if no one had ever passed by there, how did anybody ever settle it? I mean, it seems to me, it's just poetic nonsense, no? I mean, even acher shelo avarba ish. So obviously, nobody even passed by. How would he settle down? Ella lo marlecha. Actually, it comes to tell you big Kiddush. When it says lo yashava adam, it means that Adam Harishon didn't settle it. Settle it in what sense? In a mental sense. That kol oretz shegazar alea Adam Harishon liyishuv nityashva. V'chol oretz shelo gazar alea Adam Harishon liyishuv lo nityashva. So the idea of terraforming this planet, which is now called Terra, is actually a conscious determination of Adam Arishon. How shall it be settled? Which is a response clearly to the Pruvu and so on, Vichivshua. So that initial Vichivshua is a vision of what the earth is supposed to come under the human impact. And therefore, when it says Lo Yashav Adam, it means Adam Arishon never defined that land, and therefore was meant never to be terraformed. And the other places, like Tzinita Debavel, and that's exactly what they're saying. See, it's Tzinita Debavel. It's from the days of Adam Rishon. Not that it was planted then, it was planned then. I always say this is a self-referential story, because that is the ultimate livui. In other words, what's the din of levaya? Levaya is particularly this idea of leaving something with someone that allows the impact of my last being with you to continue to have an impact upon you. That's what livui means. So this is a story of livui that is coming to explain, as an example, what the livui should be when you say goodbye to somebody. We talked about halacha. And which is a story in itself that describes the ultimate livui, which is Adam Arishon's livui of my separations as a whole, which the impact of his determination defines the whole course of human development, which is the essence of what the Leviathan is. It's the vision of Bria intact that is meant to provide the template for the continued development, which is then at the end is brought up to see, okay, is it according to plan, so to speak. So the joy of the Sukkah Shalaviyatan is essentially this issue. Okay, you guys, go back to bed. No dancing in the streets. Not, forget it. I don't even need to break a Casa de Murica. Constant Casa de Murica.
Bayar Banachal Shol was from Egla Rufa. Egla Rufa is because of the life of Livui. Shol, where we just spoke about, asked for Livui, right, to be an indication that connected to Shmuel, but it was perversion. So yeah, as the problem comes in a different aspect.
Interesting. Rav Mordechai, Alvei L'Rav Shimi Barashi, from Hadruni until Beikipi, which is quite a ways, and some say it was all the way to Beit Dura. Tana Rabbanan HaMitpalel Tzarech Shechavin Et Libol HaShemayim. Abba Sholom Er Siman HaDavar Tachin Libam Takshiv Oznecha. What exactly Shechavin is Libol HaShemayim? And it's not clear. It's something that's Megel HaLocha, which we'll talk about. But, as we mentioned in the Mishnah, when no one was here, the Chassidim HaRishonim, Yishoyim Sha'achas, K'dash Yichavnu Libam La'avim Sheba Shamayim, is exactly this Loshen, sort of, Shamayim, Yichavn is Libal Shamayim. Rishonim are there medayik, that it is clearly nothing to do with the tefillah per se, because it's Yichavn Libal Shamayim. In other words, it's a state. It's not that the tefillah is done, so to hear, HaMitpelot Zarev Shechavn is Libal Shamayim, is not that the kavana of the tefillah, or the kavana of the words, or anything like that. Because it's the preparation for tefillah we see in the Mishnah. Rather, is the diak is that it's the equivalent of the state of amida b'fnei hashchina. Your mind should be mechuvan la'avicha shabbat shamayim, so that your tefillah should be a tefillah, rather than talking to yourself. What it is that you say, and how it is that you say it, and so on and so forth, that's a different issue.
Same thing in the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah. It's not the tefillah, it's where they were directed. Or this mansion is
the chavim. The place?
By Nachash and Nachoshes, etc.
Okay.
That it's all connected.
Yeah, okay. It's certainly similar, yeah. As it says, Tachin Libam, Takshiv Oznecha. So Tachin Libam, first, be meich in your heart. So obviously, if we're bringing this as the pasuk, it is in fact a reference to preparation, which is what we saw in the Mishnah about Chassidim HaRishonim. It's not part of the act of tefillah, it's the milieu of the act of tefillah. It's within such a construct that a person could be mispala. So if there's a Libal HaShemayim rich, then Takshiv Oznecha. Then you can hear what it is that your tefillah is saying. Tanya Rav Yehuda Kacha Yamin Hagosh Rabbi Akiva. As far as Rabbi Akiva was concerned, Kishayamit Paleli Matzibur Ayamit Katserbo. When he was davening for the tzibur, or with the tzibur, the ola is usually for the tzibur, he would daven very quickly, Mipnei Torah Tzibur, because he would hold that it wasn't right to keep the tzibur up. They wouldn't have any idea what this time is for. But when he was being mitpalel beinol beinatzmo, so the aspect, again, the context of this gemara is that this was part of Yechavin Libal HaShemayim and not part of what he was saying. But in other words, the need to constantly be in front of the Shekhinah took a tremendous amount of time, and that the words would come within that mental effort. And therefore, when he was alone, you would find him, you would leave him in one corner of the house, find him back in another corner of the house. He would actually be mishtachaveh. And the Rishonim speak out, but Pishat Yadayim, and obviously each time you get up, you mishtachaveh, you move a bit. So you would start off in one corner, you'd find him in the other corner. Not that any of that is part of what it is that you're saying, but it's part of Achanat Libam. Tosis points out over here that even though you're not supposed to be mishtach with the entire bracha, because it has to be nikkur, the kriya at the end of a bracha, and specifically those brachas that you're koreaning, so he would get up by the end of the bracha to make sure that he wasn't confusing the brachas that require yishtach avoyah with the others.
Is this preparation more of an erasing of the hard disk or more of a reformatting to prepare?
I don't catch the metaphor here.
Is it more to get everything out, or is it sort of half getting everything out in preparation, get everything out that I was thinking about before, or...
It's interesting that the Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah used that lashon, that it's to cleanse your heart of Olam HaZeh, but not like the issues here of things that are matrid you, but rather of the context of your life, which is a different issue. So...
This was here when we already had a set Shimon Esrei.
Rabbi Akiva. Omer b'chir bar Abba, lo'olam yitpalel adam b'bayit sheyesh bo chalamot. You have to be careful to pray in a house that has windows. Shenemar, v'chavein p'tichin lei, because we find that when Daniel went up to Davin, when things were tough, so it says that he would go up to his house, in which he had windows made, up in his aliyah. So in his private second story, he had a place where he would daven, b'kviyut. Now, this halacha of windows has a number of different hashlachot. Some taina is windows as windows, doesn't matter where they are. Even though l'maisa, these windows were mechuvan keneged Yerushalayim, that's a different halacha. Because, so some say, since the Gemara brings the windows without connection to Yerushalayim, there's clearly an issue to have windows. There's a discussion of why there should be windows. Some say so that a person should be able to look at the Shamayim in his tefillah, to which others ask, but it says you're supposed to be mechaven yirei na'im lamata, so how are you supposed to look at the Shamayim? Then Mr. Bruce says, well, you know, if you lose concentration, you should look up to the mechaven once again, the Shamayim, and then look down. Yeah. Others learn that if there's no light streaming into a room, it's depressing. And therefore, this is keneged the atzvut, that a person should not be mispalel in that sense, in a state of blech. So a room without windows is blech. It's a whole different way of looking at it. Others are makasher with the keneged Yerushalayim that we had earlier. It sort of lets your heart fly free, so to speak, through the windows towards Yerushalayim. And there's all kinds of questions that were raised throughout the Doris. As a matter of fact, in Vilna, there were no windows on the eastern or southern wall of the Beit HaKnesset. Many people were angry at that from this Gemara. There were shilas that were written about it, and the yukim that were made that this is dafka for an adam is being misfollowed by Yochid, because Daniel was going up to his aliyah, but the halacha isn't said b'chlal agabi Beit HaKnesset, which the Rambam actually writes in a tshuva, which in the Shulchan Aruch becomes, you don't have to be makbid so much in a Beit HaKnesset. You know, again, it's interesting, the Beit HaKnesset itself is a bokum that is meant for tefillah, so it can't be depressing, but the Zohar says a Beit HaKnesset without windows is not really to be misfollowing.
It's already with the Shema'at, so you don't have to be
makbid. Is a skylight better, like the one Hillel fell asleep on?
I mean, certainly, it's according to those old, it's a light issue, or is it able to bring as a Shemayim.
What about a Sufis issue? What about seeing their Sufis connected to earlier? They have to have a perception of transition, of looking through.
What makes you think there's any glass in the windows? It's a modern innovation. A window doesn't mean a glass thing. A window means a hole in the wall. Omer b'chir bar Abba. לעולם יתפלל אדם בבית שיש בו חלונות שמבחבים פתחימה. יוכל להתפלל אדם כל היום כולו, or you might think a person should spend the entire day praying. כבר מפורש על ידי דניאל, זימנין וזימנין תלטה. In that same פוסק, it talks about how he would go up זימנין תלטה ביומה, how he would go up three times a day to his secret chamber up there, and he would be borech al birkoi. He would sit on his knees and he would pray. The Shilas over here, what about Rav Yochanan's Maimer before? Halavai yitpalel adam kol hayom kuloi. Is this a machlokas with Rav Yochanan? Does it mean, some say it means l'chiyuva. You might think there's a chiyuva davening kol hayom kuloi. Others learn it means, as Tosfos said earlier, that there's, you're not supposed to use the derech kavua, in other words, the yud ches brachas, kol hayom kuloi. Again, that's part of the sugya that we were going to discuss on Friday. You might think that this behavior of Daniel was a response to his being in Galut and was a way in which he was makasher himself to Eretz Yisrael. But when he was still in the time of the Binyan back in Eretz Yisrael, that he didn't find it necessary to pray. So Yochal Mishabala Golahu Chala. He started doing this when he went into Galus. No. Kvar Nemar, it says again Beferush in the same pasuk, that this was kokabel davi avid mikadmadena. This was the way that he used to act before. So this was parallel to his activities kadmadena before this, when he was back in Eretz Yisrael. To parallel his activities in Eretz Yisrael, he set up this room in the Golah to continue the anhaga that he'd always had. So this means that this was not a response to Golos. Yochu yitpalel adam l'chol ruach sheyirtzeh. You might think that a person should daven in any direction. Talmud Lomar neged Yerushalayim. Therefore, it said, facing Yerushalayim. So again, those who hold that the windows were not necessarily neged Yerushalayim, even though it says, b'chivei petachin le neged Yerushalayim, it says, b'feirush that he opened the windows towards Yerushalayim, they say, on the Adarab, the Gemara seems to be talking about two separate issues. Windows is one issue. Facing Yerushalayim is another issue. And he put the two together. But it's not that the windows necessarily need to be the windows that are negative Yerushalayim. Because, I mean, otherwise, how are we? Maybe it's not the windows. Maybe it's that a person should be facing Yerushalayim through a window. So he said, does it say that? There's two issues. If you don't have windows, it still should be negative Yerushalayim. And if you're negative Yerushalayim, there should still be windows. And maybe windows on the other wall, but there should be. There should be a light streaming into the room. You might think these three times a day that it says that he did this means that he went up to his aliyah when he was very busy and he prayed three times, one after the other. That the three times are not three times, but rather three periods in the day. Yoko yashmiya kolo b'tfilato. You might think that a person should hear himself praying, which in Kriyat Shema we said was essential. Kvar mufurash yadei chana. And here we go back to the chana as a model, which we started at the beginning immediately after the Mishnah of the Yimarat Nefesh. Kvar mufurash yadei chana shenema v'kola lo yishama. That on the contrary, it says there, that her voice was inaudible, and that she was only speaking to herself. You might think that a person, the tefillah, is bakasha, and then yitpalel in terms of speaking about the shevach and hodoya of Hakadosh Baruch Hu and so on. No, bar mefurash the Shlomo. Obviously, in this context, Rina is what we just call tefillah. In other words, the being mitpalel is to be affected by the tefillah. It's reflexive, not vayipalel, but vayitpalel. And therefore, here it means the Rina, which now affects you to be in a matzav of bakash. And then when we say ala rina vela tefillah in this context, the rina is the bakasha that we were referring to earlier, zu bakasha. But don't say any bakashot after Emet Ve'yatziv, meaning before you begin your Shmona Esrei. Avol Achra Tefila, afilu k'seder bidui shel Yom HaKippurim omer. Once you already said your tefila, now you can add bakoshes as much as you want. You want to sit there all day long, like bidui Yom HaKippur, you can do that too. Itmanami. Even though it has been said that a person can be mevakesh in shomer tefillah in the middle of his davening, and that has to be clearly defined as a strachim. A person wants to allow his thoughts to expand and not to have a clear-cut vision of this is what I need and this is what I want to say. He could do that after the tefillah as long as he wants.
That's before he takes his steps, it's in but it's out?
Yeah. That's our derech. I mean, you know, we saw before there were those who, depending on the two lashonas in the Gemara, in other words, you could be oikar aglayim and still have a minik to be marich b'tachanunim after akirat aglayim. Those who, I mean, we our minik is the second lashon in the Gemara earlier, that we're Omer Tachanunim before Akira Zerglein. Omer Rav Nuna, Kame Hilcha Tagavrut Vota, Ika Lamishma Mehayin Kroi Dechana. Look how many important halachas a person derives from reading carefully the parsha of Chana's Tvila. V'chana hi medaberet al liba. And there you see, Mikan l'mitparot zuch shechaven libo. Because it says that she was concentrating on her heart. It can't mean Aliba in the sense of in her heart, because it says immediately afterwards Svatei Hana'ot and so on. So it must mean that this was Avodah Shebelev, that she was working on herself at the same time. Rak Svatei Hana'ot. Mikan shamitparot tzrich shiyachtoch b'svatav. You can't think about your tefillah. You have to say the words. On the other hand, v'kola lo yishama, the words that you're saying should not be audible to anyone else. Obviously that was a problem. So from here you see that as opposed to, the Tosfos brings now the Yerushalmi and the sugya of Yachalta v'Savato v'Erachta, even though you're sitting there, Yachalta v'Savato, I mean you're definitely a little bit high there. And, you know, you may be even medum dam, as the Russian there. But still, you should still be mevorek. But to be nigash l'tfila, shiko shouldn't be nigash l'tfila. Vayomra elea eli, ad matai tishtachrin. Why did that, what's the Eli's business? Omra v'lazer, mikan l'ro ebecha v'ro, davar sheino hagun. From here you see that even something which is not a, it's not an iser. It's not that you're mechuyev, as Tosfos points out. There's no issue to your Isa. It's an incorrect way to lead your life. So you say, you know, what do I have to get involved in somebody's business? Oh, he wants to drink too much. I mean, I'm going to talk to him. Mikan, if you see someone to dover sheino hagun, even on such a thing, you have to be modiahim. Vatan chanava toma lo adoni. Omar Ula, Vitamer of Yosef Rebbe Chanina, this was a double entendre over here, which was a low irony. Saying, no, sir. And she was also saying, you ain't any sir, sir. No, sir. There's no sir over here. So, lo adona tabadabra said, boy, you sure are not talking intelligently here, as Adon normally would. Velo ruach hakodesh shore alecha. This is certainly not coming from Ruach HaKodesh. Shata choshdeni b'davar zeh. You had no right to be choshed me for this. Ikeri amre l'achi amrali. Others say that this was a question. Hey, lo adonata, aren't you supposed to be an intelligent guy? That's what, lo adoni. So if you put in a little bit of a question mark over there, it's, I'm surprised at you. I mean, la v'ikash inev Ruach HaKodesh kabach. Is this the way a person like you jumps to conclusion? That instead of saying, here is a woman who is mechadeshes halachas in tefillah and who is being margish in tefillah, instead you jump to conclusion, I must be crazy. You know? Milo yadata di yishakshat ruach anochi. If I'm telling you, it's a continuation. This is the introduction to what she's saying. So she's saying, listen, if it would be somebody else, I wouldn't expect him to know that yishakshat ruach anochi v'yein v'shechar lo shatiti. But you're supposed to be lo adoni. You don't know. So you're not concentrating. You don't care. Because you're certainly not talking out of any ruach HaKodesh over you. And I had a right to expect more of you. Omri b'Eliezer, from Elazar, from this whole approach, mikan l'nechshad b'davar she'en bo tzarich lo hodiyo. She could have said, fine, you want to think that. And I have to sit here justifying myself. Which is generally the self-righteous response of a person who's accused of saying, believe what you like. But here you see, you're mukhliyev to tell him. Al titen et amatcha lifnei bat b'liya'al. Amr v'lazer mikan v'shikosh mitpalel kilu aved avodah zarah. Someone in a state of inebriation who prays is as if he's worshipping avodah zarah. K'tivacha lifnei bat b'liya'al v'k'tivatam yatsu anashim b'nei b'liya'al mikirbecha. So mala alan avodah zarah avkan avodah zarah. Just like over there, we're talking about people who came to be Mediach and to be Mesit. So too, a person who speaks like that, it's as if he's involved in Avodah Zarah. Vayan Eli Vayomar Lechile Shalom. Omer Rabbi Elazar, Mikan Lechoshev et Chavirov Devar She'en Bo. Shetzarich Lefaiso. So first of all, from here we see that if somebody had the wrong impression of another person, he's mechuyev not simply to accept the correction, but rather to make them feel better. Not only that, he has to invest in that person. She should be matzvicha in her tefillah. This is amazing, says Rabbi Elazar. Miyom shebara Hakadosh Baruch Hu et olamo lo haya adam shekaro la Hakadosh Baruch Hu tzvakot ad shebat achana bekratot tzvakot. This is one of the Shemas Hashem, Tzvakot, and we never find it anywhere until Chana's Bechadish it. And in the Kabbalah, this was an achievement of Chana in changing the Anhagas HaShemayim. It was up until that time, there was no splintering of Kochos in the world. There was no Tzvaot, there were no different armies, so to speak, that were assigned, which could give a person outside of an overall context, a particular bracha. And she was machadish, a completely new anhaga, which allowed her to get the response of pregnancy, which she would not have been zocheh to, the way that the world was nohug up until that point. So it was a major innovation in a change of Shemas Hashem, which is one of the rarest of things. As I said, we find that Avraham Avinu made HaKadosh Baruch Hu Elohei HaAretz. Okay, I mean, we talked about HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps referring to that, this is an amazing thing. Hashem Marta Yom, Hashem Amircha Yom. And here we find Chana, of all things, as part of the Seder HaTfilas, changes HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Gilui in the Olam, and because of it is Zocha to all types of new things. Which is interesting because from the Sugya that follows, it's mamish fascinating, I mean, it's a Kulei Beremez in the Sugya. But from the sugya that follows, you see that it's nogea, the concept of Machan and Yisrael, which was the Tzivaot Hashem is referred to. That is in the movement of the Machan, that's the Tzivaot Hashem. And the Machan is set up as an army again, with the Golan and so on and so forth. And she brings Raya to her tefillah from the Dinam of Seita, which are a direct application of the machana to the individual. There was a dinim of seita occur once the machana is set up in Nasai. We now are able to discuss the impact on an individual and their personal relationships, because now there's the power of the machana to impact that. She uses, after creating Hashem Tzvakot, she uses the keach of the tzava of the machana to create a batzav and tefillah in which HaKadosh Baruch will have to answer. So until Chana comes along and calls HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tzvakot, we never find it. And what was she saying? Ovo Chana lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu ribono shel olam. Mikol tzivei tzvaot shebarata ba'olamcha. Kasha beinecha shetein li ben echad. Look at the way the world is. Broken up into it's a, tens of thousands of different types of issues that are all separated and have grown into their own different species and different countries and different hanhagas and cultures and modes. But you can't spare a little bit for a lady who that needs a child. I mean, surely out of all of this, something gets splinter off my way, huh? This Melech is giving now a suda for every country and the representatives and the ambassador of Uganda. Again, there's this poor honey standing outside. He says, I need a piece of bread. Nobody pays any attention, so we're not going to announce the honey. So he comes in, eats a Melech. Omar Le'ad, Nia Melech. Because Hildasha Sita, understand? The ambassador to Uganda gets a flourish and a meal. And what am I? Chopped liver. Give me a piece of bread. Kasher in Echle Tenli Pusachat. Imra Otire. So what's your Imra Otire? If you will surely see. No, this is a threat. Omra Belazam Rach Analik Neakadosh Barakuri Bonashal Alam. I'm giving you a chance. Imra O. If you will accept my tefillah, you'll see my oni and my need. Fine. So then everything's okay. V'im lav, but if not, oh boy, you're going to see, all right. So im ra'ot tir'eh. What am I going to do? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go elech v'estater b'fnei al-kana ba'ali. I'm going to get my husband jealous of some guy. I'm going to go and be mistater with him. Then he's going to have to give me the imei sultan. Yeah, I mean, after all, Iyatau Setoratcha Plaster, you're certainly not going to make a joke out of your Torah. And it says in the Torah, V'niktav Nizra'a Zera, that if she drinks the Mei Sotan, she turns out to be innocent, which I will be, then she will have children. So since you have no choice but to give me a child, you can do it your way or you can do it my way. But either way, I'm going to get you to give me a child. So, Haini, Kalamani Omar, Imaita Akara Nifketa Chafi. 1 second, but that's a machlokas. One man, the Omar says that that means, Vinikta Vizra Zera, is that even if she had previously not been able to have children, she will have a child. Okay? But what about according to the other man, the Omar, who says, no, all it's saying is, Imaita Yoledet Bitsar, Yoledet Bereva. If she used to have difficult deliveries, she'll have an easy delivery. If she used to have only females, not she'll have males. If the kids were swarthy looking, she'll have levanim. If they were too short, now she'll have tall children. But it doesn't say that she'll have a child where she couldn't have it. So what are you going to say according to him? Where is this machlokas? Tanya. Rabbi Akiva says, so then im ken yochu kol akarot kulam yistatru. Everybody can think of this brilliant idea of Chana. So if they need to have a child, they'll get their husband jealous. Go ahead and drink the mesota, and then they'll have children. Do you think that makes sense? And then zusho kilkolan of kedah al malam shimai tayol ed bitzar yol ed berevach tzar yol ed daruchos kar yol ed levanim echad yol ed shnayim. So how is he going to understand now? Mayim ra'ot tir'eh? No, he says, look, divrat torah k'lishon b'nei adam. It's interesting because that's usually Rabbi Shmuel's approach. Here, Rabbi Akiva has to say that, right? Well, I got no other explanation from Ra'ot Tireh. You know, if you're going to see, is all that it means. If you will surely see, really respond to see, to me, and so on. Okay, Rabbi.